All right, here we are, second week into the year, second Sunday into this new decade. And we started a series called From Death to Destiny. And what the whole series is about is making it from, it's the story out of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, where God was delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt to Canaan land. And the whole story, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, is simply a typology, a picture of what every believer must go through to get to their promised land. And so I made a diagram. Can I show you that diagram? If we put that up there, praise the Lord. We got a little fog up here, praise the Lord. I tell these singers to stop smoking up here, praise the Lord. I'm just playing, that's a joke. But we made this diagram, and y'all remember the whole trek. If you never read the Bible, maybe you saw the movie The Ten Commandments, and God had delivered the children of Israel out of bondage and slavery in Egypt to their promised land, and their promised land was Canaan land. And the Bible says in the New Testament, we'll read it here shortly, but it is just a picture, a typology of the believer that goes from being in bondage and slavery, and I made this alliteration down here, prison, from prison in Egypt, and that's a picture of not being born again, before Christ. And we know that everything that they did in the children of Israel, remember they took the lamb, they ate the lamb and put the blood over their doorpost. That is a picture of getting born again. They went through the Red Sea and they were followed by a cloud. That's a baptism of water in the Holy Spirit. So just the whole thing, every detail in the Old Testament. I've said it before that the Old Testament is the new revealed, and the new is the old, the old is the new concealed, and the new is the old revealed. So all the stories, all the details, all those things are pictures of new covenant truths. And so the lamb that they ate, all that is a picture of Jesus, and all the details too. And so we want to go through that because all of us have promises that God has given us, and all of us must go the same journey. Out of bondage and slavery, you've got to come out of Egypt to get to the promises of God. Amen? But there are two stops that the children of Israel made in between. And those two stops are stops that we'll have to make as well. And again, I want to explain this whole process. How many of you have got a dream in your heart? There's something in your heart that perhaps isn't realized yet, but you know that God's got more in store for you than what you're realizing, what you're experiencing right now. I assure you he does. God's got much more in store for you than what you're experiencing. And likewise with the children of Israel, God had a promised land for them. And so what we're going to do in this series, what we're doing is just explaining this journey so that you can actually get there. Like the children of Israel went around the same mountain for 40 years until they all died off. All of them died off except for the two of the adults. All the children under 20 made it, but all the adults except for two, Joshua and Caleb, didn't make it. And so we're looking at that, because how many of y'all want to get into walking the promises of God? And for us, it's an inheritance that God has for every believer. And so that's what we're talking about. Are y'all with me? If you weren't here last week, get online, www.destinygso.org, and view that message. If you weren't here Wednesday, you'll understand today what we're talking about on Wednesdays, and I encourage you to be here. All right? We'll come back to that diagram. Let's jump over in the Bible. Jump in the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this week I'll read it to you in the New King James Version, I believe. Yes. And here is Paul. He says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. Notice how I keep saying all. All our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. That's the Red Sea. All were baptized into Moses. We've been baptized into Christ. You get it? It's a picture, right? Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Next. All, say all. All ate the same spiritual food. Uh-huh. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Notice the rock in capital R. And that rock was Christ. Again, he's showing us the typology. Now, are y'all with me? And that rock was Christ. Remember what came out of that rock? water. And Jesus said, eternal water comes out of me. So it's all a picture. Y'all get what I'm saying right there? Amen. But with most of them, say most. This is a sad, sad indictment, a sad reality here. Not all, but most will not walk into the promises of God. Let me just make sure I'm clear here. These were born again. It's a picture of being born again, but not the promised land isn't heaven. Canaan land is not heaven. Put my diagram up there for you. Can y'all keep it flipped just in case we, yeah, if y'all don't mind. Make some noise for them back there in the back. Egypt is coming out of sin, right? Coming out of sin, receiving Jesus. They made it through the Red Sea, baptism, water, Holy Spirit and all that. But then to Mount Sinai was their first stop. And that's where they received the word of God, the principles of God. That's where discipleship must occur, the first stop. And we see that they ran into some problems there. There was even a battle that they had before there. In fact, there's two places in the Bible that I'm aware of that people had received their inheritance prior to the wilderness. They had received part of their inheritance. One was the children of Israel. If you remember the 10 plagues, remember those 10 plagues, frogs, lice, all that stuff? That last plague was blood. But before they were to take a lamb and put the blood over their doorposts, they were to go, God had instructed Moses to tell them to go and ask the children of Israel to borrow all their money. And they did. And because the children, the Egyptians were like, we just want y'all to go. Y'all are bringing nothing to us but trouble here. We want y'all out of here. And so they gave them all their gold. Children of Israel left with wealth, with part of their inheritance. But guess what they did with it? They turned it into a golden calf. They melted it and made it into an idol and began to worship it at Mount Sinai. Are you with me? Before they had gotten the instruction of God, the word of God, and before they went into the wilderness to be tested with that word that they had been given, they turned that gold into an idol. They began to worship it. And this is what happened. And the second case that I'm aware of is the prodigal son. The prodigal son asked for his inheritance, and then he went out into the wilderness. And guess what happened? Blew it all. No other mention of his inheritance. Came back home, but no inheritance. He'd blown his inheritance. Are y'all with me? And so many of us are praying for things that if, thank God, you don't have it. For many of you, if you have the wealth that God has in store for you, your family might not ever see you again. Come on, somebody. Your wife be like, hold up, Pastor, have you seen, is it Billy Bob? Well, you know, he hit the lottery, and that was the last time I heard from him. all right, I'm sorry, y'all. But again, here, so the wilderness is a testing, and we'll get to that. It's going to take me a lot of time to talk about that. But Canaan land is not heaven. And it doesn't matter how many great songs they've written about it. Canaan land is not a picture of heaven. Why? How do we know that? Because the enemy was there. Giants were there. Problems were there. There are no giants. There are no enemies that can defeat you in heaven. Canaan land is a land of the promises of God, the provision of God. Are y'all with me? And so what the Bible said, what we just read, was many of them, most of them, didn't make it there. What does that say? That says that God has much more for us than many of us will ever realize. Many of us will die in the wilderness before realizing it. And so what Paul does is in Corinthians is tell us why they didn't make it. And he tells us why he's telling us that. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Make some noise for him in the back. Thank y'all. Here it is. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered. Where? In the wilderness. Go next. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not. And look what he starts mentioning. He starts listing the challenges and problems that they ran into. All right. In the wilderness, he said, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We're going to see all this when we start studying the wilderness, because these are things that we too will go through. Come on, somebody. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. That means putting anything before God. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. The translation, I read it to you last week. They sat down and began to have an orgy what else did it say? They were drunkenness. They just started having all kinds of foolishness. Are y'all with me? Sexual stuff. Come on, say sexual stuff. This is not children's ministry. I got to break it down to y'all grown folk in here. Come on, somebody. All right. He says, nor let us commit sexual immorality. This is always mentioned in the New Testament because it is one of the things that will keep you from walking. This is why we have to teach our children sexual. We have to teach them about sexual promiscuity and how to contain themselves. We must teach our children this because when they go into the school system, into this public school system, they're going to be exposed to all kinds of sexual immorality as if it's normal. And if we as the people of God are still shacking up, lying, sleeping with each other, not doing it God's way, all we're doing is training our kids. That's all right. And so he mentions this kind of thing over and over. And we as the people of God must deal with these things. That is not to put you on blast. That is to help you get your life in order so you can walk out the promises of God. Hit the person next to you and say, God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. Are y'all with me? All right, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. We're going to look at all these examples when we get to the wilderness. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. The devil was able to destroy many of them. Nor complain or murmur, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. The devil is the one destroying them. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, our correction, to admonish us. Are y'all with me? Upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Next. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I love that passage right there. All of us need correction, speaker included. All of us. Do y'all know this? Proverbs chapter, what is today, the 12th? Yeah. Proverbs 12 chapter verse 1 says that if you don't get correction, you're going to mess your life up. All of us need our life corrected. We need someone who's able to speak it into our life. And that's what a pastor is. I have a pastor. Come on, somebody. I got a couple pastors that speak into my life that correct me, that I've given them the permission. Please correct me. Are y'all with me? All right. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, what? Unless what? He falls. So listen to me. Don't be offended by me saying this is our year of discipleship, becoming disciples. All of us, myself included, need to be disciples. That's going to be a process that's going to go on the rest of your life. And I'm going to explain that here today, all right? Watch this. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. And this is going to really be relevant for when we talk about the wilderness. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it, all right? So we see here Paul is talking about this whole journey. And again, remember last week we talked about that it was an 11-day journey, Deuteronomy 1 says, but it took them 40 years and only two of the original 2.5 million, experts say, left. Women, men and children, 2.5 million people, and of the adults, only two of the original made it. Come on, y'all. And that's what he's saying there. Most won't make it into their promised land. I'm convinced that many of us and most of us in this place can if we adhere to the instruction that God gives us. But it does take a couple important stops, and we're going to make the first one today at discipleship. And that's what we're going to look at in the scriptures. Are y'all with me? All right. Now, let me state this, because if you were here last week, you heard that, like we just read in the New Testament, 23,000 of them fell dead in one day because of sexual immorality. Now, we are under the new covenant. We are in the new covenant. We're not under the legalism or administration or wrath of God of the old covenant law, but the patterns, the principles, the statutes, the laws of God make up his divine order. Are y'all with me? And so God's divine order, y'all remember this? There was a man who, when David was trying to get the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, and they put the ark on a cart with horses pulling it, and it hit a bump, and a man named Uzzah reached up to try to catch it, meaning well, but touched it and fell down dead. Right? And David was just, he was taken aback by that, because he's like, oh my God, I'm trying to do something good, and yet a man dies who touched the Ark of the Covenant, right? And so that's under Old Covenant law. But the principle is still true. You cannot take the anointing and power of and anointing of God, because that's what the Philistines had taken it, and David was going to try to get it back on the same way that the Philistines had taken it. And the protocol was wrong. Are you with? And under law, but the truth, the principle of it is still right. You can't get the anointing. You can't move the anointing of God like the world tries to move it. The presence of God. And so the principles of the Old Testament are still true. They stand. They make up God's divine order. And so we have to understand it. When God says don't murder, it's still relevant under the new covenant. Come on, somebody. And I know some deep people, well, we're not under the law. You're trying to put me under the law. Stop being ridiculous. Come on, somebody. All right? So we're not under the legalism, the administration, the wrath of God under the old covenant, but the patterns, the principles, the statutes, and laws of God make up his divine order. And if you want divine blessing, you must walk by divine order. Divine blessing, meaning healing, prosperity, abundance. You've got to submit yourself to divine order. When God says tithe, he's not saying it for his benefit. There's a divine order that's in place, and that order is you must put God first. So all the people that say, oh, I don't need to do that, you don't understand divine order, and you'll always struggle. You'll never have God's divine blessing. Hit the person next to you and say, you should have paid attention to that right there. All right, come on, somebody. I'm preaching good already. So here, let me say this. I put it in your notes. Don't mistake God's mercy and grace and love for approval. So now you may be today living in sexual promiscuity and you didn't fall dead like the 23,000. And many people think, well, I'm just going to do this. We're under grace. And they think they mistake God's mercy and grace and love for his approval, his stamp of approval. Don't get it twisted. God still says don't get caught up in sexual immorality. And we've got to correct that. We've got to correct ourselves. Now, notice, nobody can make you do anything under grace. We can't make you. Now, under the law, they would stone your crazy tail. You'll just ruin your own life and can't figure out why you can't get ahead. Why am I still broke? Why is nothing working out for my life? Divine order. Come on, somebody. Come on, are y'all learning? All right. Now, last week, this is review this real quickly. Last week, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 7. I almost read the whole chapters to you. Were listed 7 promises of the provision in Canaan. And I'm not gonna give you all the scriptures, but let's just name them. Number one was the promised land. Promised land for us as new covenant believers is being in Christ. And I gave you several scriptures about that. But that is the place of all the inheritance in the promised land. And what God does up front is just say, hey, I'm giving you all that. All the promises of healing, all the promises of the Holy Spirit, all the promises, every promise of God is yours once you get Jesus. But you do have to walk them out by faith. You don't have to beg God for healing. He wants you healed more than you want to be healed. You don't have to beg God for prosperity. He wants you prospering. Are y'all listening to me? So number one was the promised land. Number two was prolonged life. We found that out. God wants you to live a long life, and we read all that. Prosperity was the third promise, and that was every single thing you need. All of your needs met. Number four was grace. That's God's riches at Christ's expense. Unmerited favor, all right? Number five was casting out all of your enemies. Fear. If you're living in depression, God wants that cast out. You're living in poverty, sickness, all those types of things. That is not for you, all right? Number six was children and family blessing and increase. God wants your children blessed. Number seven was take away all sickness. And we read all that last week. If you weren't here, go online and view the message and get my notes. All my notes are online as well. So there's no excuse for you not to understand what we're talking about, all right? So let's go on forward. Now, why did the children of Israel die in the wilderness? We saw some of the things that they were dying over, some of the sexual promiscuity, worshiping idols, all that stuff. But why did they die? Why were they caught up in that foolishness? Listen, here it's right here in the scriptures. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. Chapter 3 and 4 explains why the children of Israel didn't make it into the promised land. Here it is in Hebrews chapter 3. Let's begin at verse 5. I'm going to read it in the NLT, New Living Translation, for simplicity once again. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. Here again, just another witness here that this whole story is an illustration for us. Next verse, please. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. Next. That is why the Holy Spirit says today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. He's restating many of the things it said in Corinthians. There your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. So I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest. Come on, somebody. Go to the next one, please. Be careful then, dear brothers. Now, did you see he was quoting what God said? Now, Paul gives his commentary. I believe it's Paul writing, the writer of Hebrews. He says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and what? Unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. Y'all hear that? Go to the next one. You must warn each other every day while it is still today. He says, do this today so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. This is why it's so important that we be real about us getting caught up in sin. Now listen, God's in love with you and you're not going to fall dead. God isn't going to, you're again, because we're under grace, the grace of God, you're not going to fall dead because of God's wrath. You're not going to experience God's wrath. Are y'all with me? We're not under that covenant of law. But the principles and truths are there for a reason, because sin will destroy your life. And particularly, the Bible puts sexual immorality in a whole class of its own. And that's why we must be upfront and honest about it in this culture that we live in. Because most of the church is more discipled by the culture and the world than Christ and the Word. Most of the church is more discipled by the culture and the world. If the world shacks up, the church thinks it's all right. Are y'all listening to me? So we've got to cut right through this and do exactly what he said, because he's warning us here. He's saying, listen, don't get caught up like they did. All right, y'all listening? For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed. Listen, your faith should not start waning the longer you're born again. It should go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. All right? From one level of righteousness to the other. You should be going further in, not backwards. Mm-hmm. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. I told you, it's all in Christ. All the wealth, all that is your promised land. Those inheritances are there. Healing is in Christ. All of it's there in Christ. We live and move and have our being in him. All the promises of God are in him. Yes and amen. They're all in him. Are y'all with me? Verse 15, remember what it says. Today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. And who was it who rebelled against God? Even though they heard his voice, wasn't the people Moses led out of Egypt? Yes. And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? Yes. So we see that because of their what? Unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. We get in one line here. What was the root of their sexual immorality? What was the root of all the junk, the murmuring and complaining? The root of it was Why do we get in sexual immorality? We don't believe that God has a spouse for us. We're unwilling to do the right thing to get in that place and position. Come on, somebody. Why do we murmur and complain? Because we don't believe God's going to get us out of this. Come on, somebody. He said the root of the problem right here was unbelief. They were not able to enter his rest. Unbelief. Go to chapter 4. Are y'all with me? I'm going to read this in New King James because NLT kind of clouded this up. This makes it real clear. He says, therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, entering his promised land, entering Canaan land for us, right? Let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. How many of y'all, myself included, I know I've fallen short of some of the promises that God has for me. There's more that God has for me that I'm not walking in yet. That's what he's saying here. He said, don't settle for walking in less than everything that God has for you. Come on, push the person next to you. Say, God's got more in store for you. And some of us have gotten so accustomed to sick, so accustomed to broke, so accustomed to it that we think that's normal. We make excuses for our living in broke and living like the world. No. Come on, somebody. Don't settle for that. But you're not going to live in sexual immorality and a bunch of foolishness and think you're going to walk into the promises of God. You're not going to do it. Come on, somebody. All right, I know y'all don't like preaching. People don't like preaching like this. They let me just tell, everything is good. You can just do whatever you want, and God's just in love with you. He is, but you are going to reap the consequences of your actions. You know what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6? It says, be not mocked. God is not, where is it? Let me turn to it. Galatians 6. God is not, look at this passage. That, watch what it says. Yeah, that's it. Let me turn to it. Where is it? Galatians? Yeah. Look what it says. What verse is it? Anybody got it? Oh, there it is. It said, this is my new Bible. I don't have any markings in it. I broke it out for 20. This is my first time during it at the church today. Look at this. Let me read that real quickly because it's so big on my heart. Yeah, starting at verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Watch this. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever a man sows, that's what he will reap. For he who sows to his flesh, here's how we think it says, will of God reap corruption. What does it say? It's not God punishing you for foolishness. Your flesh is punishing you. Life is punishing you because you sowed the wrong seed. Of the flesh reap correction, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. God isn't punishing you. Your actions are punishing you. All right. Just wanted to make that point. Go back to wherever I was. I forgot. All right. Therefore, since the promise of remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you and me seem to come short of it. Yes. For indeed, the gospel, the good news was preached to us as well as to those Israelites. What was the good news? God's taking you into a promised land. God's taking you to a place of his promise. He said the promise was to them just like to us, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. This verifies what he said earlier. He said it was their unbelief. They didn't get in because they didn't believe God. He said they heard the word, but they didn't mix any faith with it. They didn't add any faith, any action to it. Mm-hmm. For we who have believed do enter that rest. That's what I want you to see. We who believed will enter that place of the promises of God. Are y'all ready to dig in deeper? Now, he said it, they didn't mix faith with the word that they heard. How does faith come? By hearing and hearing. That's right, Andrea. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Actually, by the word of Christos is what it says in Romans, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the words of Christ. So let's go and let's examine this, because God had taken them out of Egypt, and the first stop that they had to make, and Moses kept saying, we got to go out here in the wilderness, and we got to go and worship our God. The first stop that God told them to go to was Mount Sinai. And I'm telling you today that that is the place of discipleship. Let me show it to you in the scriptures. Y'all saw there. Turn over. In fact, let's look at the children of Israel. In Exodus, faith comes by hearing and hearing, right? Remember in chapter 20 of Exodus, when God had given them the Ten Commandments, the law. It's a picture. Again, say picture. That's where they were going to receive the instruction of God. God told them the day before, he says, listen, I brought you out of Egypt on eagle's wings. I love you. I want to make you a people to myself, a special priesthood. I want to bring you to myself and bring you to a promised land. I'm in love with you. I got all this stuff. He said, but go prepare yourself and get ready to come and meet me at the mount. I want to talk to y'all there. Moses said, okay, go clean your clothes. Go, come on into the mount. We're all going to get there tomorrow morning. They all go there and watch what happens after God speaks to them. When the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, when they saw the flashes of lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance trembling with fear. And they said to Moses, you speak to us and we'll listen, but don't let God speak directly to us or we will die. Look at here, Moses. It's a little bit too much for God to be talking to us. Let God talk to you and then you tell us what he says. We don't want to hear from God. Listen to me. I can never replace the word of God to you. Stop putting pastors, the fivefold ministry, on some pedestal where they replace God. When some man or woman of God falls, then you fall. See, I told you. Why are you dependent on them anyway? There's a place for the fivefold ministry. Are y'all with me? But we're human just like everybody else. And we got to do this just like you do. Come on, somebody. All right? And they said to Moses, you speak to us. Go to the next one. Look what Moses says. Don't be afraid. Moses answered them, for God is coming this way to test you. And so that you, your fear, your reverence of him will keep you from sinning. He said, yeah, God talks real loud right here. Because he wants you to know that he's serious and these things really matter. But just draw near. And if you read on, they said, no, Moses, we don't want to hear God. We would rather hear you. And then the Bible says Moses went and drew near to the mountain, but the people didn't. There's the first problem. And this, I believe, is a place where God wanted to teach them and let them know that it's important for you to hear from me, for you to have a relationship with me. The series that we got on before we did this, before we started this series, was a series that I call True Christianity, Knowing God. Knowing God. And that's so vitally important. That's what this Christian walk is all about. And that's what God wanted to have with them. And they said, we don't want that. Talk to Moses. He'll tell us. No. God wants to have a genuine relationship with you. So we see the problem. They weren't willing to hear the word of God. And let me tell you, that is the first problem. And notice that's the first stop. You must hear the word of God. It is the most important thing, and that's where you're going to be discipled, all right? So the first stop we all must make after we get born again, after we leave Egypt, is discipleship. Mount Sinai. Turn over in your Bible to Matthew chapter 28. Say discipleship. Now, let's read the Bible. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus' last words before he ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father, after the cross, after the death, burial, and resurrection, he resurrected, walked the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, right, showing many signs and wonders to the apostles and many, many, many people. So he's about to ascend into heaven, 500 people gathered around. Jesus says these last words recorded in the Gospels. Here it is, we call it the Great Commission. But watch what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, I'm going to read. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make converts of all nations. Make disciples. That word is Mateo, something like that in the Greek. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe how many things? All things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When Jesus about to ascend to the Father, he says, listen, here's the instruction. You've got to make them disciples. Disciples. You've got to make them disciples. Somewhere, somewhere this has gotten twisted where somehow the church thought it was important to just make converts, just to get people born again. And this is not what Jesus wanted. This is not what he instructed us to do. And this is why we have many of the problems. Most of the problems in the body of Christ is the same problems that the children of Israel. People aren't being discipled. And we don't know what that means, so that's what I'm going to explain it today. All right? This is the year of becoming disciples. Here's why. Watch this. Here's what a disciple is. I just took this right out of a Bible concordance and just, here it is. A disciple means to become a pupil, to enroll as a student or scholar. It means to learn and adhere to Christ's precepts and instruction. A disciple is a disciplined one. Now think of it just in these terms. How many of y'all graduated from high school? All right, good, good. By law here in the United States, we have to go to school. Either at home, and some, you gotta go to school. You have to get some certificate. And think about it, if the school system, and that's simply what it is, it's a discipling. You have to be discipled in education and math. You have to have discipline in doing this. So they make you go 5 days a week. I don't know, when I was in school, we were there 6 or 7 hours a day. And you had to go. You had to take these certain tests in order to move up to the next level. And I'm sure there's some standard for some equivalency test or something you got to pass, reach some certain level of understanding to get a high school education, right? But think how we did that. From age 5, kindergarten, every day, 5 days a week, 6, 7 hours a day, you had to sit in a classroom and learn from level to level as you grew up. What if we did school like we do church? Here's school. Here's all the books you'll need. Get it when you can. Do it. Do what you want to do. Just figure it all out. And I'm telling you, if we did the school system like we do church and this book, most of us in here couldn't read yet. Because you wouldn't take the discipline to go through those books on your own without somebody leading you and guiding you. You wouldn't do it. Most of us would be sitting here as dumb as a bag of rocks right now. In fact, why many are struggling so much right now is because you didn't pay attention. No, but I want you to see my point here. What we do at church is get you born again, and the Bible likens that to being a baby. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And the Bible talks about us being adolescents and children and grow up and all these kind of things. But then there's no systematic way for us to have that. We give you a Bible and pat you on the back, you're born again, come on back to church. Look, here we are, week 2. And I said it, between last week and this week, many of y'all ain't gonna be here. Why? Because we're not disciplined. He said, Pastor, I was hoping you'd preach on prosperity and preach on healing, because I need money and I need some healing. I am. That's what I'm preaching on. Are y'all listening to me? And so the children of Israel at that point refused to hear what God had to say, and therefore they were doomed from the beginning. And many of us, I would venture to say most of us, because we've never had a disciplined way to get this word. Now let me just say this. Here, let me come back to my notes and make sure I don't forget anything. Yeah, let me say it like this. Every single thing you need from God has already been provided by God, but must be received by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing and learning accurate knowledge, which is discipleship. God gives it to you all up front when you get born again. But he says, you got to disciple them to show them how to receive this inheritance. You get it all in spirit, but you've got to be taught to manifest this, to walk in it. You've got to be discipled. So many of us, are praying and asking God for stuff we've already got, and the route to it is to Mount Zion. You've got to be discipled. But I know, I already know. Come on, for many of us, myself included, school was not a pleasant experience. Come on, somebody. It was not fun to me. And I'm telling you, some of y'all, let me tell you, for the healing that you need, or the healing you may need, it is a matter, cancer has no power at all against Christ, God's power that's on the inside of you. But unless you're discipled, you'll never walk in it. That power is already in you. God's given you everything he already has. But it is a matter of you being discipled, and most people are unwilling to pay the price to be discipled. Thank you, baby, right there. That's the only person. I got one clap in here. All the rest of y'all like, I just want to keep asking God to give me prosperity. I just want to keep praying about getting deliverance. You keep praying and wasting your time. And you can't figure out why you walking around that same mountain, getting older, getting crazier, getting broker, getting sicker. You can jump from church to church if you want to. You can jump from spouse to spouse. You can jump from job to job until you get discipled and get this word of God on the inside of you, where you believe what God said. You're going to keep walking around the same broke, the same sick, and never move forward in your life. You ought to slap somebody right now, a high five, and say, we need to be discipled. First stop God wanted them to make, and they said, we don't want to hear that. I ain't got no time for that. Think about it. Think of how long it would have taken you to get out of high school if you went to school like you go to church. Okay, what? We hear, I teach for 45 minutes or so. 45 minutes, most of y'all can't make it every week. Too busy. For that one 45-minute session. Come on. Hit the person next to you and say, yeah, he talking about me. For real, dog. Okay, so we used to go to school 6 or 7 hours a day. Let's just say 6, because you got recess and some stuff. But 6 hours a day times 5, 30 hours. You show up once, maybe a week, 45 minutes. I'll give you an hour. How long would it take you to go a week of school with normal kids? That's 30 Sundays. There's only 52 in a year. You wouldn't graduate till you was dead. You'd be learning how to read in your 40s. Mom said, run, Sally. And you wonder why you're broke, busted. You can't figure out why you can't get a hold of your flesh. You can't, because you're not discipled. And God told the church, now I'm not blaming y'all. I'm blaming myself in the ministry, in the fivefold ministry. It's not your fault. Most of y'all just like a whole bunch of hooping and hollering. You get an organ player and somebody, close down. Whoa, we had church today. And leave dumber than you did when you got there. Had a little bit of sense when you came, then you left stupid. Is that too strong for y'all? Come on, can I tell you that's what it is? We need teaching. We must be disciples. And let me just tell you, you're not going to get it coming one day a week. When you feel like it. If it's raining outside, can't do that. Might get my weave messed up. Wednesday, are you kidding? Let me tell you, on Wednesdays, we're giving discipling classes. I'm teaching you the stuff that you need. Do y'all get this? Watch. Let me show you. What most of us are praying about, I just went through and wrote some verses down. Look over at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Watch this. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's an easy way to remember what grace is. And peace. Irene in the New Testament, Shalom in the Old Testament, nothing missing, nothing lacking. Grace, God's riches, his strength, his power, his anointing, his ability, his healing. Everything God has, and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need healing. You need knowledge. Oh, Lord, I need more money. You need knowledge. That word knowledge right there is epinosis. It means full, complete knowledge. Are y'all with me? Look at the next verse. As his divine power has given to us all things. God doesn't have anything else to give you. Stop asking God to give you something. You already have it if you're born again. As his divine power is going to give us all things. Has given to us all things that pertain to life. Does healing cancer pertain to life? Absolutely. Does a job, does a marriage, does healthy children, does peace, does joy? Lord, I'm depressed. I need peace. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Those that keep his mind stayed on him, he'll keep them in perfect peace. Stop asking God to give you peace. He already did. Your mind's put on the wrong thing. But if you were a disciple, you would know that and stand on the word by faith and take that. You speak to that mountain and stop begging God to move the mountain. You talk to it yourself. That's if you were a disciple. But what you'd rather do is call the church and ask me to come over and pray for you. I ain't coming. I got things to do. I'm supposed to do stuff to disciple you. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the we don't know. Because we don't know anything. Praying about stuff you ain't even supposed to pray about. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us, look at this, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these exceedingly great and precious promises, see, he gave us Canaan land as these provisions, of these promises of provision. He said, you've been given all that. But through these great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of that divine nature, that healed life, that blessed life, that life where God wants to show you off as a billboard to the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. Say, God's got much more in store for me, but I'm gonna get it by discipleship. Come on, y'all, I'm almost done. What time's the football game? Come on, we're gonna be home here in a minute. Watch this. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, but the divine nature having escaped cancer, having escaped disease, having escaped Alzheimer's, having escaped broke, having escaped divorce, having escaped babies out of wedlock. Having escaped all the corruption that is in the world through what? Come on, somebody. I'm preaching good today. All right, how did we get all that? Through knowledge. Look over at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 11. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to bless us. Who might bless us if we keep begging and praying long enough? Maybe if I just got somebody else to pray with me, God would. Who has? Y'all notice the whole New Testament is written in past tense. He's already done it. He's already given it to you. But because you're fooling around, never being discipled, messing around with bozos and getting connected to losers that take you away from the will of God, keep you out of church, keep you from hearing the word of God. Are y'all all right over there? Y'all all right? Do I need to come down there? Okay. Y'all all right? Y'all all right over here? You're just late, but you're here. Praise the Lord. No, if we showed up at school or work like we do at church, every one of us would be broke. Every one of us would be homeless. Every one of us would be dumb as a bag of rocks. They made your tail go to school. They made you. They made you do it. Now, guess what? At church, we can't make you do it. I'm not going to make you do it. But let me just tell you right now, most of you won't. Most won't, and that's so hard, that's so strong. But I'm just telling you, if we don't get this, and come on, you'll make it to heaven, just like the children of Israel. They made it into heaven. You make it to heaven. But most of you, I have hell the whole way if you don't learn this disciple. Say, I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to get discipled this year. Push the person next to you. Say, he's talking to you. You too, stop playing. You've been broke long enough. You've been sick long enough. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Look at verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. We've already got everything. You just need to be taught to walk in faith. Oh, I already know that. Did you hear what he said in Corinthians? He says, you think you know, that's why you ain't getting it. In him we've been predestined, obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who walks out according to, okay. Jump on over. Look, some of us want healing. We want healing. Let me tell, oh God. I don't want you to get offended. I don't want you to get offended in this. But please hear me. If we're not walking in healing, it's not because God hasn't given it. It's because we don't know how to receive it. And we don't know how to receive it because we've not been discipled. And I take the blame for that. Please, don't get this all twisted. I'm not fussing at you. I'm fussing at me. All right? I'm not fussing at you. Now, the knuckleheads who say, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway, I ain't even got time for that. I ain't got no time for you. You get what I'm saying? Because there's going to be people leave here that go, he don't even know what he's talking about. I got it. And you stay broke. You stay sick. Just call me when you want a funeral done. I'll come and do it. Call in to them. I'll hook it up. Everybody be smiling at your funeral too, and I'll get some people saved. Are y'all with me? But you will probably die in the wilderness having not walked out anything that God has for you. God, I don't want to be that strong, Lord. First Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you're going to be healed. Past tense again. Already done. Say, I am healed. Second Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. All these things, I just want to show you that the Bible is written in past tense. All things have been given to us already. It's you don't know how to get it. Walk it out. Manifest it. You must be discipled. And that's why Moses said, we got to go here first. They said, we don't want to hear that. Ain't got time for that. You let him talk to you. Finances. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know, that word know right there is gnosko. Here's the problem. Now, listen, y'all. We love Jesus. We know Jesus. But many of us don't know his word. We don't know his word. We've got relationship with Jesus, but not with the word. Jesus said it in John chapter 15. He said, if you abide in my word and abide in me and my words abide in you. Him and the word, spirit and truth. Got the Jesus part, but get the word part. You've got to be discipled. I ain't got no time to be coming up here on Wednesday. I ain't no problem. I'm not broke. I'm not sick. Was that too strong? That was too strong. Some of y'all hated that. Some of y'all didn't like that. Some of y'all didn't like that. Love you, man. For you gnosko, the grace of God. You have intimate relationship with that. You know this grace of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Did he do his part? That through his poverty you might become rich. He did his part. That means riches have already been provided. We just got to walk in it. Look at this next one. I read it to you in the offering or earlier today. This book of the law shall not depart of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then who will make your way prosperous? And you will have good success. God said, I've already given you everything. Just get this word in your heart. Become a disciple. Look at the last one. Deuteronomy 8:18. This is the one we read in the offering. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power. God doesn't give you wealth. Stop asking for it. Say, I've got the power to get wealth. You do have it. You do have it. Hit the person next to you. Say, you've got the power to get wealth. Are y'all listening to me? All right, I'm closing up. Turn over in your Bible to John chapter 8. Mm-hmm. John chapter 8, verse 30 through 32. Watch this. Jesus spoke these words. Many believed in him. After he's teaching the word, many believed. Say, he's talking to believers. Jesus said to those Jews who did what? Believed him. So he's talking to believers. He's telling believers something here. If you abide. Now, abide is a word that we don't use in today's modern English vernacular. Abide means to cohabit. Abide. Let me put it like this. I'm abiding in my body. That's what abiding is. Abiding is I'm in this. I'm in it. I'm living in it. It's on me. It's one with me. Look what he says. If you abide, live in my word, cohabit in my word, live in it like you're living in that body. Abide in my word. You are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. When you're living in the word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When you're living in the word, there is no option for freedom. Freedom is the natural result of living in the word. It makes you free. Makes you free from cancer. Makes you free from disease. Makes you free from broke. Jesus said, go make disciples. They've got to be disciplined in this. Come on, somebody. I'm teaching y'all. All right? And look at this. Oh, here's this word again. And you shall gnosko the truth. You have to have this. Remember we did that whole series about knowing Jesus? We have to have an intimate relationship with him, but we also have to have this intimate relationship with the truth. That's what it's saying right there. Are y'all with me? And that truth that you know and have intimate relationship with will make you free. If you're not free, it's simply because you're not discipled in that area. And I'm going to help you do it. I'm going to help you. Come on, say, Pastor's here to help us. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Now, okay, so I told you that coming to church once or twice a week will not make you a disciple. Look how the disciples, how they did it in the early church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. And then we got one more passage of scripture, then we're going home. Y'all good? All right. Let's see. Those who accept, this is on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, Peter's preaching, stands up and saying what's going on here. And he stands up and he says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. All right, 120 in the upper room. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 of them, Peter came out preaching, 3,000 of them got saved. They devoted themselves, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's the word, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Four things. Come on Wednesday, and I'm going to break that down. Go to the next one. Jump to verse 46. Look at this closely. Every day they continued to meet together. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Look at the next one. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is not a once a week thing to be a disciple. Now, we ain't gonna have church every day. But we are going to make environments where you can have meetings together in your home. Now, we have to, because some of y'all crazy. And you are discipled, but discipled wrong. Real crazy stuff. Say, not y'all, the other people who didn't come today. Some of y'all too. As I peruse the congregation. Now, we all got a little bit of crazy, but watch this. What church is for is to set up an environment where we can be discipled and grow, and then be able to take this home and share it with other people and live it before them. It's a process. This whole year, we're going to do, every message I teach is going to be geared towards discipling you. Are y'all with me? Wednesdays, particularly on Wednesday. And again, that's where you're going to get the meat to really grow. I mean, y'all hear what I'm just giving you the basic stuff here today. On Wednesdays is where I lay it down. I put it down for you. But I know many of you don't have time for that. We're going to help you. We're going to help you. Of course, we put it online, but we're going to help with the children's ministry. One of the things that we really want to do is make it conducive for you and your kids to be here. Make the service really short, like an hour long, but we want your kids to be able to do homework. We're praying that there'll be some teachers and administrators that will help us. So when your kids come, if they're struggling in school, they can be over there. And if they don't have homework, they can play and that kind of thing. But you can get discipled here. How many of y'all see the need to be discipled? If somebody around you doesn't have their hand up, please understand, this is why you're stuck in life. This is why. Are y'all with me? Amen. Amen. All right. Here, now, let me give me my closing verses here, and we're going home. Turn over to Luke. I love this right here. I almost wasn't going to give this because this is so strong, but this is Jesus. Luke chapter 14. I'm going to read 10 verses here. I'm going to read it pretty quickly, but you'll get the point here. This is Jesus. Watch this. Once when large crowds of people were going along with Jesus, he turned and said to them, "Those who come to me cannot be my disciples unless they love me more than they love their father and their mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, and themselves as well." He said, if you don't love me more than you love you, you can't be my disciple. Then he gives an example. Watch what he does here. Watch this, because we read this as it pertains to finances, but really he was talking about discipleship. See the context here. Those who do not carry their own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I'll explain all this next week, because I'm out of time now. He says, if one of you is planning to build a tower, sit down first and figure out what it will cost to see if you have enough money to finish the job. If you don't, you will not be able to finish the tower after laying the foundation, and all who see what happened will make fun of you. You began to build but can't finish the job, they will say. If a king goes out with 10,000 men to fight another king who comes against him with 20,000 men, he'll sit down first and decide if he's strong enough to face that other king. If he isn't, he will send messengers to meet the other king to ask him for terms of peace while it is still a long way off. In the same way, concluded Jesus, none of you can be my disciple unless you give up everything you have. Now hear what he's saying right here. Here, I want you to make sure. Okay, here you are. You're a Christian. Your boyfriend says, you know what? We ought to move in together. Oh, no, you know, common law. We can just have sex. It's all right. You know, and you say, you know what? I love Jesus more than I love you. I ain't doing that because Jesus said, don't do that. No, baby. And run some old stupid player game on you. Are y'all with me? And that's what he's talking about. He's saying, don't you dare. If you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to put me first before he even put you. Even though I want to do something stupid. Come on, somebody. Even though I want to do something stupid, he says, you know what? I'm a disciple. Now, if you get in the Word, if you live, the Word will make you free from those things. Come on, somebody. What is Jesus saying? He said, count the cost before you decide to walk with me. You count the cost. You count the cost before you just jump up and say, I'm going to be a disciple. He said, no. This means you're going to say no to some people that your flesh is going to want to say yes to. You can't go everywhere and do anything you wanted to do, because no, I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to be a disciple of Christ because I want to make it into my promised land. And if you don't want to go, guess what? I'm going without you. And if you don't want to live right, guess what? That ain't none of my business. Do what you want to do. But as for me and my house, we going to follow the Lord. Somebody make some noise in this place. Everybody get on your feet. If you're here in this place today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, friend, can I tell you that God's not mad at you? He's madly in love with you. Are y'all listening to me in this place? God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. No one moving around, please. This is really the most important part of our service. Unless you've got to go to work or something. Just hang on 1 second, if you would. Thank you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, friend, I'm telling you, God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. And he really does have a great future in store for you. He really does. But it is going to take being a disciple. Teach them all things. All things about marriage that I've said. All things about raising children that I've said. All things about finances that I've said. Teach them all things about life that I've shared with you. For lo, I'm with you always. I'm going to be with you, but you still got to teach them. Come on, do y'all see that? How many of y'all learned something today? If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, friend, God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. He really is. He's madly in love with you. And he does have a great purpose for your life. God's got great things in store for you. He really does. He's got a great future, a great family in store for you. The things that God has in store for you, it's going to take you being disciple to get them. With no further ado, four appeals I'm going to make here. Four appeals while the saints of God are praying quietly. Four appeals. Number one is for salvation. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, friend, I'm telling you, God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you, and he's got a great future for you. You need Jesus. Don't go to hell for anybody, not for your pride, not for anybody, not a boyfriend, husband, wife, whatever. Don't do it. Don't spend eternity in hell because somebody else didn't want to do it. No. This has to do with you and Jesus. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that first appeal is for him, to receive him. Second appeal, second call is this, for rededication. You're born again, but you know it. You weren't discipled, and somehow life got bigger than Jesus. And you walked away from him. He hasn't walked away from you, but you know it. You're no longer praying. You're no longer in church. You've walked away from God. Friend, God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. That's why you're here today. You're here today because he's calling you. He's wooing you. He's wanting you to come back so he can bring you the life, the lifestyle, the blessing that he has in store for you. And it's a great life, a great life, a great future. Second call is for those. And that speaks right to your heart when I said that. That's for you. You know you're born again, but you need to get right back with God. Second call is for you. Third call is for prayer. Perhaps you're here and you're born again. You know it. You're walking with God, but man, you're facing something monumental. You're facing something grand today. It seems bigger than you. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a marriage challenge. Maybe it's something with your kids. Whatever it is, let me tell you, God's bigger than it. And we're here to agree with you about that thing and help direct you and instruct you. My ministers are here, and we want to help you to get over that. Get your answer today. Today. Don't walk out of here without getting what you need. Fourth call. Fourth call. How many of y'all believe you are in a good church today? Yeah. You are. You're in a great church today where you will be discipled if you adhere to what we're teaching. You will. You'll walk out of that sickness. You'll walk out of that disease. You'll walk out of that jacked up relationship. You'll walk into the things that God has for you as you submit yourself to the Word of God. If you're here today and you've never made Destiny your home church, we don't want to just date you. We want to marry you. We want to be committed to you to help you get what God has for you, but we want you to be committed to us as well. Amen. That fourth call is for this church, to get locked into this church. You're in a good one. First call is for salvation. Second call is for rededication. Third call is for prayer. Fourth is for joining the vision. If any of those four calls resonate with your heart, resonate with you, yeah, Pastor, I'm ready to make some change. 2020, I'm ready to go into this new decade in a new direction, a new destiny, a new direction for my life. Here I go, I'm counting. If that's you, don't wait, don't hesitate, gather up your belongings. When I get to three, move out of your seat. Many people will do it, you be one of them. Don't you be sitting in that, standing in that place without getting what you need from God. Saints of God, here we go, I'm counting. One, here they come already, yes, yes, make some noise, y'all. Two, Don't wait. Three, run down here quickly. Don't wait. Make some noise for them, y'all. Do this. Y'all know what to do. Make some noise, y'all. Come on. Check with your neighbor real quickly.
You move mountains.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, baby.
You cause walls to fall.
Come on, sir.
With your power.
Yes, sir.
Perform miracles.
There is nothing. That's impossible.
And it's unstable.
And we're standing
come on, sing it.
Only because you made a way.
It was mountain. Come on, sing it, y'all.
Mountain.
Because walls.
You will walk the walls.
With your power.
With your power.
Upon miracles. There is nothing.
Come on, y'all. Put them together like this.
It's impossible.
And we're standing here.
And we're standing here.
Only because.
Make some noise for him, y'all. Come on.
You cause walls to fall.
Come on. Let's move for him. Come on, baby.
Only because you made the way,
and we're standing here.
Only because you made the way.
How many of you know that Jesus is making a way right here today? Y'all make some noise for all these that came down today. Everybody down here, look at me real quickly. Oops. Look at me locking on me. Listen, what you've done today is one of the greatest decisions you'll ever make in your life.
Woo, still coming,
Pastor. It is so awesome to break the chains of the devil, go against the grain, and make the move that you made. That's why we're clapping here. Put them together, y'all. This begins a journey. And listen, we're putting things in place to make sure that we can make it available for you to be discipled. But until those things get all in place, I'm going to call you this week. I'm going to call you. Your phone's going to ring and you're going to hear my voice. It's me going, listen, I'm so proud of you, but you need to bring your tail back here. Now say it real nice, you know what I mean, because it's on the phone. I don't know you like that. But that's what it's going to be. I'm going to call you and say, get your tail back in here. That's what that call is. And one of my other partners, somebody else in here is going to call you. We're going to call you. But that's going to be the key. You learn today, you're going to get in right standing with God today. Are you with me? But this is just the beginning. Say this prayer loud enough out of your mouth, you hear it with your own ears. Say this. Y'all with me? Say this. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus died. And rose again from the dead. Just for me. You're my Lord. My Savior. My Healer. My Provider.
Right now.
I'm saved. Forgiven forever. I'm right with you. Thank you, Jesus. Now give God the biggest shout of praise you've given him all day today. Hey, my prayer partner, my minister right here with you, they're going to turn you this way and walk right in this room. You're just going to be there for a second. They're going to get some information from you. I'm going to give you some information, and I want to see you right back here. I'm going to be here Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Amen. Will y'all make some noise for them? Now, this is what's happening here every week at Destiny. Now, listen, saint of God, I'm going to be here Wednesday at 12 noon. We do a service at lunch called Lunch Date with Destiny. You can bring your lunch as long as you bring me some fries. I'm playing. You don't have to bring me that. Don't bring me no fries. But I'm going to be here at 7 p.m. And we're teaching. We're teaching how this thing works. I urge you, I compel you to be here if you can be here. All our services are online, but it's better to be here. And I'm teaching